Welcome to the Down and Dirty Podcast, the ultimate guide to modern midlife dating. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I'm here to help you navigate the challenges of today's dating world. Think of me as your female version of Hitch, but better. With over 16 years of experience as a certified image consultant and dating coach, I've got the inside scoop on what women want. In this podcast, we're diving deep into the world of healthy masculinity and modern dating. It's a fast-changing industry, and here you'll find personal stories, expert insights, and candid conversations that will empower you to take control of your dating life. There's never been a better time to achieve your desired outcome, whether it's marriage, finding a significant other, securing a life partner, or simply regaining your dating confidence. We're here with you twice a week to explore the viewpoints and challenges in today's dating arena that resonate with every man seeking dating success and love. So let's dive into today's episode. We've got an exciting discussion lined up for you. Get ready for the double D's of dating, where dating dilemmas turn into dating triumphs. I want to welcome everybody to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore. I'm so thankful for everybody that continues to show up here. And for all of you new listeners out there, this is a space of acceptance, education, love, and fun. And let's make dating fun. And today, safe again. Scott, my guest today, has over 20 years of experience in risk mitigation and is a former head of global risk strategy at Visa. He spent many years creating solutions to stop fraudsters and bad actors in various sectors. He is a frequent speaker at prominent conferences on risk threats in a global landscape, and is known for his ability to create personalized user experiences that can scale quickly. He now puts his focus on the online dating space to stop the growing threat of romance scams and help protect daters from bad actors by creating the new app, Bright Check. So thank you, Scott, for jumping on the show again. By the way, it's Scott Bright. I want to welcome you here today because you came on my show almost a year ago, and you started this app that now has changed a little bit. And I just would love, first of all, like, just explain to everybody here listening what it is that you created first, and then we'll get into some of the other questions I have.
Yeah. So what Bright Check is, it's effectively person verification and background check, mostly focused for online dating, also can be used for social marketplaces, even meeting people in real life. What we provide is kind of really three important checks. We have an anti-catfish check, which verifies the authenticity of a person, as well as marital status, which is good one to pull in. Real-time criminal data, which is a big difference between some of the other background checks that are out there, which sometimes are working off five-year-old data. Ours, if you got arrested last week for pulling that stuff. And then the social check. Social check verifies which top social media platforms that somebody is associated with. This is a good early warning detection. If there's no online presence, most likely this is not a real person. So we're able to kind of buy this and stop, create public safety and try to stop some of the bad actors that are out there.
Yeah, I love that. And I know that you started this app, you were going to launch about a year ago, approximately, right? You did a little bit, but you, I think, came into a couple little issues. And then you're just like, I want to have this like perfect before I release this to the public. And so just from speaking to you last year, I think that you've added quite a bit of things to this app now. Is it the social part that's new, or is it the, I'm not quite sure, or was that like connected last year?
So a couple of things that we've kind of done. One, we were actually having quite a bit of challenges getting into the Apple store. They had a lot of security concerns, thinking that we were building profiles on people. Again, as I mentioned, there's some other similar type apps that are out there that are doing pretty naughty things that they are not happy with. So one, it was the convincing of Apple and showing them in our technology, say, look, we're not building profiles. We're not, you know, harvesting user data, doing this, the nasty things, which they're looking to protect. So they understood that we're kind of lockstep. In the back office, so we've had a lot of the same features. But what we've been able to do is improve a lot of over the past year, which I can't believe it's been that long, is the accuracy of when we are able to find people. Before we were in state-by-state criminal checks, now we do a full national check of the person. So we call it the Vegas issue. So if somebody, you know, is visiting Vegas and DUI or something, normally it's difficult to find that charge. But now we're going across the nation, end there. We are looking to plan for a future development, which is we're looking to put out probably early Q1, is that we're actually going to have the ability to have risk scores associated to this person's email and phone number as known bad actors, bring in social media profiles, bring in social media photos, and even mugshots. So people can actually take a look at all the stuff and make sure that it is who they're talking to and help them make a decision with dating.
Oh, that's so amazing. Like this is, one of the reasons why that Scott and I have, we've discussed past this podcast and kind of throughout the year, I've kept in touch with them is I'm so passionate about this. It is, I hear in your voice, I hear that this is like your mission, your passion. It's what you've been doing. And I absolutely think that not enough people are probably, first of all, like you said, there's other apps out there that are doing naughty stuff that they're not supposed to be doing. But forget about that part is that you just said that some of this data is 5 years behind on some of these other apps that are out there. I mean, like, well, you know, I mean, that's in itself just like useless data.
Yeah. And it basically creates its own public safety issue, because now it gives people a false sense of this person validated. They don't have a sketchy past, which again, we're not the morality police, you know, and sometimes, you know, again, if somebody had a DUI 20 years ago, that's a person's choice. Do they care? Was it maybe a careless decision? Sure. Were they maybe 20, 21 years old? But then it's on the other side. What if they had 4 DUIs in the last 3 years and that's not shown? The person gets into a car with them. They're either maimed or killed. Now it's major. It's not just, you know, litigation to me, but now again, this creates this public safety. So this is why we're a very hard stance, making sure that this is up-to-date data that we can find. Mind you, very, very messy because we're coming from state, county, and, you know, different registries with it. But this is where we've employed also new technology around artificial intelligence, which is now the big buzz. But we have truly employed this stuff to make sure, so we kind of cut through the noise and say, look, this is relevant. Chat traffic citations, kick them out. Nobody really cares.
Yeah, no, I love that. And this, like you said, I think, you know, your focus definitely is for the romance community, the online dating community, people that are doing not just, you know, the profiles, but there's other ways that people can get in touch with you, you know, on Facebook, on Instagram, mm-hmm. DMs, all sorts of different ways. Originally, you had created this app for the romance scammers, the people that are online dating. And I think, can you go over those numbers on how much money is taken in the romance scam industry?
Yeah. So it's really interesting. So the big reporters of this are the FTC, the Fair Trade Commission, and the FBI. And they track these kind of numbers independently, which is scary that I'm talking about combined data. But originally in 2023, the number was roughly, I think, $1.5 billion. And that was back in January, February. They kind of put out these numbers, and which is about 3 or 4x that it was the years before. So we're on kind of this upward trend. But what has happened is that now there's other new scams that are associated to it, typically called pig butchering scam, which is kind of a quasi crypto scam where it starts with romance and they're saying, hey, don't give me money. I want you to invest money. And so now they've actually combined that, which has now made the number $3.3 billion of reported loss. And we think it's, you know, a multiplier of that as it actually is occurring, because this is a crime of embarrassment to people, even high net worth people. They don't want to tell their friends. They don't want to tell their family. They definitely don't want to tell law enforcement because they're so embarrassed. And because this has been sitting as somebody willingly giving money, payments in the banking industry don't really care either, because these aren't chargebacks. This isn't a fraudulent, you know, credit card transaction. It's just sending wires of money, sending funds with it. So the banking payments industry is, we don't care. So this is where kind of, again, it's all this huge white space that we need to kind of fill.
So how's BrightCheck going to be able to help with this big number that's going on? Obviously, BrightCheck can help with making sure who you're dating is they're not a bot. They have a clean record. Their socials match up with who they say they are, and they're married or divorced or single or whatnot. Make sure who you're dating, who hopefully you're talking to. So this can filter out a lot of bullshit. But I know that throughout the media currently, or in the last year, the UK has been trying to pass a bill that is related to bad actors, right? That the online dating community has to be told if they're like causing issues, or can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. So there's a couple of bills that are really applicable here. So there's the UK online safety bill. That one, there's a lot in it, but the main requirement that's applicable here is that it says that, hey, platforms, and this is dating apps, marketplaces, that you have to enforce your terms and conditions. So meaning that they have to clear the terms and condition, can't be convicted, you know, can't be on sex registry list, can't be a felon of these certain crimes, have to be authenticated person. So we see with that UK bill, just as we've seen with other regulations like GDPR and some other ones, that we know that, you know, this was recently passed in the UK, it's going to jump upon, as they say, and come over to the US in the next couple of years. But separately, there's also the US online safety bill, not very original on the naming, but this is kind of limited. What that is going to do is that it does require, if a platform, dating app platform identifies a bad actor, and that's kind of a big air quotes, what does that mean? This is either somebody who is identified as fraudster, who has deceptively done, you know, crimes, et cetera, or somebody who's done kind of nasty things, assault, rape, murder, which hopefully they're not on the platform anymore. But basically what they will be required to do is that they will be required to notify every single person that has been in communication with this person. Because typically they, you know, they start on the dating apps and they go on to text or WhatsApp, so it's untracked. Mm-hmm. What that's going to do is to now allow all these platforms to start to create these bad actor lists. So what we can do as a company like me is that we will be able to gather all that information to create this major data repository so we can create an early warning detection around a lot of that stuff. The most exciting part about it is, you know, again, this geopolitical environment right now, it actually has bipartisan support, so Democrats and Republicans, very quickly moving through the various different committees, which is surprising in this day and age. This is probably something within late 2024 will start becoming a federal requirement.
That is super fast. And that's, I mean, I don't mean to, I'm not laughing because this is really serious. And I'm so happy that actually something is being done, because before somebody, I followed multiple, you know, Dateline and the things that they've been talking about, romance scams where guys have like literally raped women over and over and, you know, changed their profile, all sorts of different things. And they literally put their hands in the air saying, there's nothing we could do. It's out of our hands. Like, I don't even, and it's like unbelievable that the dating apps could still literally have his stuff on their apps. You can be scrolling and knowing that multiple women, multiple people know that he is on this app and is a predator. And still to this day, because the bill has not been passed.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, unfortunately, there's kind of been a bad environment, and it's not all dating apps. You know, it's not all created equal, but especially ones that are, some of them that are just trying to become out there. They want user base, want, you know, swipes, is that they're not really, they're, a lot of them are not putting the right controls. What's happening is that, you know, there's some technology that's out there. Like, yeah, you can take a picture of your driver's license and a face and a selfie. That's spoofable. Some people do kind of some other verification, but it's really kind of kludgy across the board. And some, because there hasn't been this requirement and this really public outcry like it has today, it's been the last 20 years that it's just decayed and just turned into this kind of really powder keg of just unsafe behavior. But what's interesting is that now, again, yes, all this bad stuff is happening, but now it's starting to really decay into the architecture of these dating apps. You know, especially younger generations are like, I don't even want to go on the dating apps because it's just such a nightmare. Mm-hmm. What's the main reason why? Public safety, verification, spam, bots. Got to remove that crap out of there, just like we do. Like, again, we've seen in the financial industry, start moving this noise out. And once we move that noise out, then you get consumer confidence, which will help the entire industry.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And I love how far your app has come. This is just so exciting. I mean, it's what, $7, $8, something along those lines to be able to check anybody out that you're online speaking to know if that's a person, if that's a fraudster, if that's, you know, who you say you are, I mean, that's a no-brainer to me.
And that's why we wanted to kind of change things ahead. I mean, we are a for-profit company, but we are ensuring that we're kind of compressing the prices to make sure that it's one, scalable against, you know, every demographic, every walks of life, every social economic kind of level, just kind of allow it. And this is where, you know, again, as we continue to put out, new models, such as we're in the future looking to do possibly monthly subscriptions or by bulk pricing, because we want to offer it to the people is to, you know, really bring it to the masses. Because effectively what we want to be is that, like, you know, it's really with Clear, you know, it's all in the airports. I mean, they're doing, you know, they started with the airports and they crushed it. And on there, it gave all the security and safety and then started expanding outside from there. It's stadiums, events, you know, they had COVID cards for a while. So they really expanded these other market. And that's where we see it as well, is that effectively we here at BrightCheck, we want to be, you know, the ubiquitous check mark across all platforms. We want to use these platforms so that security, start with online dating and safety as people can verify themselves, verify somebody else, but then take that information and port it over to social marketplaces, social media, you know, any of these different platforms that you use. So we become that ubiquitous kind of check.
Right. Wouldn't it be great if you could just have that check mark like on all your profiles and after? Like,
that's actually where conversations with some of the dating apps to do. Because, you know, it's funny. It was, I always say, you know, we want to take over the check mark. That's another thing. We want to take it over because what's a blue check mark? Yeah. There's consistency for, like, you know, X. You pay for it. There's no real verification. The dating apps have it. There's lots of fake profiles. So when you see a blue check mark, there is no confidence. The user, has this person really been verified? Is it really just a picture of a blue check mark that the person has put in their profile? Because that's usually where it sits.
Yes.
Again, we want to be kind of taking over this check mark space. Show that it is kind of, you know, special wars that, you know, isn't spoofable and have it in there, because one, they'll be able to have that check mark. And then eventually we want to move this into real life, have the ability that you can kind of tap to date, check and verify somebody in real life. And again, using the kind of that check mark and that badge that we're creating.
Right. And then you meet a guy in a bar or a girl at a bar and you're like, yo, can I just tap your phone?
Yeah. Most likely we assume it's probably going to be, you know, not, maybe not the girl herself, but a lot of times her friends will be like, before you go out on a date or a friend away, let's check you out. So,
right. But I still love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. The way the taking over that space is just perfect. It's exactly what's going to happen too. So I know you have talked about some really exciting news. I just know that that's probably what you've just talked about, some of the growth in Q1. Is that anything else you want to talk about on top of that?
Yeah. So a couple of real exciting things for the developments. One, as I mentioned, yeah, we'll be launching out what we call kind of team as Gen 2, which is our current product on steroids. We're really excited about. Also in the future, we're looking to introduce things such as early warning of human trafficking data to pull in other data sources, other information, again, just help kind of protect these users. We listen very closely to, you know, what our users want. And so definitely human trafficking stopping is a good one. But the other is that we did just solidify a partnership with Match Group. If users are not familiar with Match Group, they own Tinder, Match.com, The League, and 20 of the biggest brands in the US. But they actually came to us, which is very exciting. So we're a little tiny startup and they advise this, they want to provide free checks to their users across all of their platforms, you know, across all their portfolio. So what this does provide that now is because they're making a very hard stance on safety and security, especially if we walk into 2024. So they want to kind of, again, offer this as a solution to help protect their users, because we know this is right away. We don't have to wait for some big integration or, you know, allow it to add to the platform, which could take a long time technology. They'll offer this right away. And then hopefully in the future, as we evolve, as regulation comes out, have this stuff in, deeper embedded into their platform, as well as some of the large platforms and as well as small ones, to create this kind of ubiquitous safety and security net.
So excited for you. That's huge. That's really, really big for someone to have noticed. Yeah. This is like, if we don't jump on board, we're losing out because,
you know, we're pretty surprised that they came to us. I mean, it was exciting to see the partnership. I mean, they had a previous vendor. It just didn't really end that well. What they see is that, you know, what we offer is really robust because they have major campaigns around romance. They definitely want to offer public safety. And they saw that we were, as effectively, they say, one throat to choke. So we offer all the solutions that their users are looking for. Just one tight little package.
Yeah, I really, really like, I love that they're finally taking safety and security as like, this is really important. So that, right, it does lead to the confidence in online dating. Because yeah, I'm sure, I think from what I understand, like, look, I hear, you know, percentages and numbers, and they don't probably mean as much as, you know, probably not all true in real life, you know, but something like 25 to 26% of people that are online dating are in some shape or form should not be there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some of the numbers we have. And some of the problem is, one, there's a lack of visibility on the data information. So it's kind of piecemealing together. Again, I think as, you know, the U.S. government is going to be more focused, one, I think safety and security in the online dating space is going to be an explosion of growth. I saw this, you know, back in the, when I was in the payments industry, just sort of 10, 15 years ago. And it was a mess. Remember, there was no cardholder confidence. Your card was getting replaced all the time. Fraudulent tax revenue time. And as an industry, they were like, hey, we need to focus on this. We need to, you know, there's no magic bullet that solves it, some kind of technology. It's a layered approach. It's bringing on, you know, security tech that does this, different tech that does that. And what that does as that layered approach, we call kind of the balloon methodology. Is that, so fraudsters don't go away. The balloon, squeeze one side, they're going to go somewhere else. Effectively, what we've seen is that they went from, you know, the payments and finance industry, which are still there, but they've minimized, and now they're jumping into these low-hanging fruit industries. Knowing that we're going to put this kind of technology, these, you know, these bad actors aren't going away. We just put them out of the industry, and they're going to go somewhere else. And it'll be interesting to see in another 10 years where the heck they went. As just, I've kind of followed my career as I, you know, I've kind of joked is that I follow, you know, I don't follow risk and fraud and payments. I follow the bad guys. So I can see, you know, maybe in another 10 years, say, wherever these guys go, start going into that industry and start disrupting them as well.
Well, I think you kind of already are as you start going into the trafficking part, right? That's huge. And
there's this in the world, human trafficking, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people know how it actually works. They think, oh, you just take some migrants from another country and you know, promise them whatever and you bring them over. But it's not. It's happening in high schools. It's happening where people are pretending to be their boyfriend and grooming. And it's like, but it's all over in ways that you would never think that would be a possibility for this to happen. And yeah, it's scary.
It's very scary. And actually, it was today I was listening to, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, that they were talking about how Facebook, actually, personally, how their algorithm works is that when they sign up for new users sign up, they actually did a test and said, hey, now, what if I was looking at, you know, young girls who are cheerleaders or gymnasts, you know, it's not illegal following those, but there starts to become this subculture around it. Very quickly, the algorithms are picking that stuff up. Same thing around kind of human trafficking. And it is typically known people. These are people that are groomed or found. A growing trend, of course, people on OnlyFans. They're found through that. They're, you know, they can request, say, hey, let's do an in-person meetup. It starts getting really, really, really sketchy. And they have tools, these mechanisms. And a lot of times perpetrated by somebody overseas. So they're talking to not even, you know, the person they think they're talking to. And then they know if they're meeting them, they know where they're going to be, what time, what they're going to be wearing, probably some pictures beforehand. And they just scoop them right off the street. That nobody is reporting them. They're just gone. It's just a sad state of affairs that's happening.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited to hear and see the evolution of BrightCheck because I'm so excited to where it's at right now. And I think, like you said, it is really robust. What is the information that you need to input to find out all this information on someone?
So the next gen version that we're coming out with, we realized customers is a little bit too heavy on the information that they would need to input.
Okay.
What we developed out, and as we're launching this out, is only first name and phone number. If they have more information, we can return more, but the minimum amount that we need is just that first name and phone number and do an entire national search on this person. profile. We are in the high 90% of personal location validation.
That is amazing.
It's wild.
It's wild. I mean, when you look at what it's used for, it's so great. And it feels like you actually can feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's so huge. I mean, a lot of women, even my age, who are single and are dating and have children at home, or just like everybody. I mean, I'm not saying that we're more of a target, but it's just another layer of knowing that, okay, I can go out with this guy and I feel okay about that.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, so now, I mean, now we've had tens of thousands of users, people running the checks. We're totally data geeks here and saying, who are our users? Or a year ago, our assumptions was that it's going to be, well, probably 80% women and 20% male, somewhere in, you know, LGBTQ, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the case. It's actually, we are roughly about 50-50 between men and women who are using it, which I found very surprising. Even with, again, as our partnership at Match Group, they had some of the similar assumptions that I did. I was like, oh, guys, this is who's actually using this stuff. Because women typically seem to be more upfront and honest and transparent, as this women really are. And men are kind of, you know, lots of machismo and hiding them, be like, oh, I would never check somebody, or like, I could never be frauded. They're the most likely to have that happen. It's interesting, if we did some user studies with people, the males in a public forum, they're like, I would never use, this has never happened to me. And we found after the session, we get pulled aside and be like, well, actually this did happen to me and I lost this money. I was like, oh my gosh. So, and now the data shows it, that males are just as concerned in getting perpetrated just as much as females are.
Well, I love that they're actually actively doing this, right? They're actively checking. So this allows that to be like, okay, well, you know, on the DL or whatever, like, yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right? Because there are a lot of women out there who use sexuality and the, you know, beautifulness and like getting the guys and whatever it else that they do. And I think it's the older women that are targeted usually that I've seen, you know, reports on and whatever. Of course, I don't get all the data. I don't see all the stuff that's going on too. But I love that. I love that guys are out there just checking us out too, because I think it's, everybody needs to be.
And it really is. And honestly, it was interesting because we had theories. We thought, you know, what demographics on there? It's across the board. It's all ages, both sexes, you know, and it's just, I think people are just kind of sick of it. And they're sick of that, you know, as to that there's just all this bad ability that's out there that could happen to them. You know, it's like, it's something like crazy. Don't quote me on it. It's like 70-80%. That typically women and gay males are basically petrified before they go out on it. And that they still do because they want to date and they want to get out there. So this does give them, again, some security. Is this a magic bullet? You know, is there stuff that's going to happen? Absolutely. You know, we can't detect a crappy person until they go crime, but there's plenty of those that are out there. Maybe we'll put a new detection for that later.
That would be amazing. But you're right. It is not a magic bullet. It's just another layer of safety. And I feel that it says so much about them. Not just, oh, the person doesn't have a record. Yeah, the guy's married. Like, okay, so maybe we need to discuss that before we go out. Like, are you in a messy divorce? Like, I get that there's complications and there's, you know, things that are messy. But it also, like, yeah, that's not his socials. So...
Right. Well, and that helps detect, like, what do they call it? Friendster or,
yes,
know, or Finstagram. And it's like, yeah, it's these big ones. Which are like, oh my God. You can kind of, again, where we sort of locate that's the new version we're coming out. We'll have links to the social media, to like the LinkedIn profile. They'll have the ability to see, because a lot of people lie about what their job is. They're probably not lying on LinkedIn because they're a professional. You won't see that stuff. But it's kind of, yeah, I mean, it's just critical to know that information. I mean, we are one of probably many tools that probably somebody should use to tell how forensic you want to get on somebody before you date. But as you're getting serious, again, these tools become important. Again, right out the gate, public safety. Again, in the future, what we're looking to do is to then provide potentially deeper searches into people's social media platforms and stuff that maybe they don't want them to see, if it's, you know, anti-Semitism or racism and stuff like that. So we are looking again in the future to start introducing these other things. So again, try to detect if it's just kind of a person doesn't align with you, you know, because that's why, you know, a lot of what we say is make dating honest, not the morality police. We just want to say, because exactly your point, they're married. So look, I mean, I can appreciate it. It took me 4 years to get a divorce. So I'm showing marriage status for a long time, but it's not that I'm waiting. I mean, I started dating, but I was always kind of very transparent. Say, hey, just let you know I was on there. But I think again, it warrants a conversation. Same thing like when I talk about like the DUI. So they'd be like, oh, you had a DUI 20 years ago. Yes. Let me just tell you the story. Frankly, people should be vulnerable about that kind of stuff because they know they have, you know, everybody's kind of got something, you know what I mean? Traffic citations, whatever, which we're filtering out, but it's just worth the conversation. Any kind of relationship should start off with open and honesty. If not, it's already kind of doomed for failure and this stuff's going to come to light anyways eventually. So
yeah, 1000% agree on that. You know, I did have someone, I've talked about this because I'm so passionate about it. And I'm like, you've got to get this app, right? I don't even think if you're just dating, if you're meeting anybody, it's like, you got to use this app. And someone said to me, well, if I need to go through all of that, then I don't even want to, like, it's too much. Like, it's too much. I'm like, what do you mean it's too much? How is taking next year in Q4, someone's first name and a phone number, putting it into a system. 2 seconds, you find out whether they're who they say they are. So does that protect your safety? Does that protect maybe your bank account? Does that, you know, anything that you could possibly think of? How is that too much? Have you had someone say to you, I mean, maybe you're not in that space, but it's like, I can't understand where that would be too much.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's be real. You know, I definitely, a lot of people say, you know, how much they love the product, but people who are not for this, probably more vocal. And you know what? That I like those challenges. And I like that information. What I've found a lot of times is that people who state that they're like, oh, this is a base, or this is too much. Which again, if you have the know-how to search county records, which is not that difficult, it's clumsy, but it's on there, you can absolutely do that. So it's not like we're providing anything that's not. Mm-hmm. But typically the people I've found is that a lot of times have a criminal record themselves. And that's when I saw there. So it's like, look, if you've had a pass, but if this is going to be a long-term serious relationship, maybe not necessarily a fling, you know, they're not going to care, but maybe they will, maybe it's assault or something. But if there's some kind of past, then, you know, it should be kind of shown out there. The other side is there have been some people that are like, oh, I think this is too much. This is too much of two onus. And really what we're seeing is that there needs to be a normalization of this. And, you know, right now it's like, oh, this is so weird. This is not, nobody's really doing this. First of all, a lot of people are doing this stuff. It's just, it's kind of hidden. Nobody's talking about it, you know, too much with that. And we say, hey, I'm going on one of these apps. I'm doing this stuff. But it comes down to is that we're normalizing. And what's going to start forcing them to see over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, is that this will become normalized. And this will be normalized. And just as like, you know, when you know, 20 years ago, when they changed banking laws, to bear, I mean, 20 years ago, banks didn't have to verify a person at all. They were just like, oh, this is my name, it's on there. It was ridiculous. So now it changes. And in the beginning, everybody was kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, this is so much information. It's so intrusive. But like, it's for protection and safety for people, citizens, government, for everything in there. You know, as we are very cautious, this is where, as we're verifying information, we sit under a lot of regulations that, you know, just the industry we're in, but also we think regulations that are really important. So we're very protective of the data that we have, protective of the data of the person, information that they pulled, protective of the information of the user. So we're basically treating this, again, very similar to like the banking industry, just because there were a lot of people on our team come from, but it just makes sense because that's where of safety and security. Nobody's walking the bank. They're like, I don't know. Are they really that safe? Of course they are. Bank. That's what they do. And that's their number one goal, is to stop bad guys.
Yeah. No, I love that. And thank you for explaining that, because that does make a lot of sense. And yeah, just like any change, people are going to put up their hands and be like, yeah, I don't know about that. But at the end of the day, it's for everybody's safety. So
it really
is.
Yes. It's the wheel of acceptance. It starts with hearing a new idea. Oh my gosh, this is so cockamamie. I would never do it. Then understanding it and okay, well, yeah, it's a good idea. And then get acceptance. And then a lot of times, someone will be like, you know what? This is a good idea. I'm glad I was on board with this in the beginning. Like it's a very odd human mental phenomenon. right now we're like kind of at, you know, stage one, stage two. So we kind of go uphill battle, but we know it's going to be working.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I'm so, so excited for 2024 for you and your business. So do you think that people, I mean, this is basically coming out at this point in time. So I think everybody hearing this is, you know, a week or two off. Maybe it's right on point, but I just want everybody to know here, this is Q1 as we speak. So look for BrightCheck, check it out. I'm so passionate about it that I'm putting this on my website. I'm going to put this in the show notes here. I want it to be able easily to download. I want you to know more about it. Maybe we could do some kind of blogs or check-in or something, and we can just kind of add that to what's going on and what's going on with BrightCheck and the evolution of it. We can always have Scott come back here and grace us all with his amazing information and kind of where it's progressing. But right now, you've got to download the BrightCheck app because this is a necessity, and it's not even, you know, one of these luxurious things. Oh, you know, this is your safety. So what I want to just ask you, because I get to tell me, because you've been on so amazing, what was one of another favorite date of yours in the recent year since I've talked to you?
I think one of the nicest ones. So me and my fiance, now again, post messy marriage, she is really the love of my life. She's such an amazing person. And she's from out here. So we're in the San Francisco area, what is close is Napa. What is great, one of the dates is that, you know, we went out there, went up to a couple different places, but then we just had just a simple picnic on one of the beautiful properties that are there. We just really just sat there and just enjoyed each other, left our phones in the car, and just kind of, you know, again, student connect. And she's a busy working professional as well for a financial tech company. So very, very busy. So it's tough for us to unplug. I found some of this, you know, the best dates we've had of say, hey, look, let's just turn off our phones and let's focus on each other. Those have been my favorite ones.
I love that. I am such a proponent of that. It's like when you can really truly connect is when you have zero distraction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm so excited. So what are you getting married?
We're still kind of figuring things out.
Okay. But no date yet.
The spoiler is that I think we're looking to elope the multi-coast. So.
The best. That's so romantic. Oh,
well,
my gosh.
Yeah, well, that was good. You know, get one of those wooden speedboats. You know, she's got one wide eye, what she wants to do. And, you know, I've done the whole wedding thing, which I'm not the biggest. And I think everybody has a good time except for the bride and groom for the most part. And you spend a lot of money. I'd rather be selfish and just spend it on, you know, just enjoying it. You know, have another couple with us as a witness or something. Just enjoy ourselves because we love to travel.
Well, I am so excited for you. That's really amazing. That's what I would do. I would like forget the guests.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Let's
buffet. Come on.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm so excited. Where can people connect with you outside or on social media or get, I mean, is the app going to be available everywhere?
Yeah. So the app is everywhere. We even have a web-based version. So even those desktop users, they can use it. But the best place to contact us, of course, just go to brightcheck.com, spelled as it sounds. Then we have a contact us if you want to reach out to us and talk. And we're
amazing.
We're very, very, we like to listen to our people, we like to listen to our customers. So. And we're usually pretty good about responding.
I love that. I think that's really important, especially as you're growing and growing, you know, you want feedback. So thank you for that. I continue to bring everybody on here with the best content and guests possible, because I think that it is super important. And I want everybody to have something to bring back to the relationship. So in return, could you please give the show a 5-star rating and leave a comment if you want. This really helps the show bring more to the forefront, which helps others in return. So thank you again, everybody. And until next time.
If you enjoyed today's episode and want to support podcasts like ours, then please hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and or invite others to listen. Your support is what helps us grow and continue to bring you valuable content. Thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode. Let's stay connected. You can find me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's discussion. For all the links, resources, and additional information mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes on my website, celestemoore.com. That's all for now, but stay tuned for our next episode where we'll dive into more exciting topics. Until then, see you next time, friends.